Okay. So, what I'm going to give you is an overview of the Learning and Performance Support Systems program. This is the program of which I'm the lead, and Pierre and Rod and Bruno and about 35 other people are also attached to this program. The program was formally launched about a year ago, and it represents a five-year, $20 million effort on the part of the NRC. Next page, please. So we're focused on performance support, and the hallmark of performance support, of course, is that it's support that comes at a specific point of need. It's one part of a larger ecosystem of support, and the ecosystem includes setting the stage with scenario building and simulations. It includes rehearsal, planning, demonstrations before any particular training event is needed, and it also includes after action or after training or after performance exercise of review. And so the system that we're developing takes into account all of these different aspects of performance support. Next slide, please. Another important aspect of this is that it presents the learning for whatever topic that we're talking about in the context of the wider community and in the context of extended networks. This wider community includes coworkers, clients, customers, etc., as well as the network of colleagues, friends, anybody that the person might be attached to through the network. And the idea here is that during a training event, the person is involved not simply in the training event itself, but they're surrounded, if you will, by a network of resources, a network of contacts, a network of supports. And these resources, contacts, and supports carry through with them from the training event to the actual performance event. I know that's kind of high level, kind of, you know, hands waving in air, but this will get more concrete as I move through to the next slides. So the next slide, please. What we've developed as a concept at NRC is a single point of access to all of these skills development and training needs, this network of support that I was talking about. The idea here is that each individual person has their own learning application. This learning application presents to them their particular unique training needs. This would include, for example, their individual learning path, the context-aware support that I've been talking about, searchable and verifiable learning resources that are either available from a provider, from an employer, or from the learning landscape at large. It's learning resources, learning support that are tailored to the needs of the employer as well. So there's mechanisms for the employer to be able to inform the training of individuals who are part of this process. It's always available, and as I mentioned to the start, the idea here is to provide the point of need performance support as well as the overall environment that supports that. So a lot of the technologies, next slide please, a lot of these technologies will be familiar to those who are working in a training and development environment, particularly a military training and development environment. We're using technologies that were developed by advanced distributed learning, such as Experience API and SCORM, as well as well-established e-learning metadata and data formats such as the Learning Records Metadata Initiative, and even some of the newer things like Open Badges and Learning Registry. The idea here is that we're not creating a set of new standards. We're not creating a new way of supporting learning. What we're doing is pulling together existing standards and existing ways of supporting learning. Next slide, please. So where we're a bit different from other approaches is that the design puts the learner at the center of all of these resources. The things that I talked about, learning record metadata initiative, badges, all of that, these are all different support systems that you might find in a typical learning management support situation. In this case, instead of housing them on an institutional system such as a learning management system or a learning content management system, we give each person their own instance of LPSS. So we call that an LPSS instance. And then from that center point, it links out to the different services that are available. You see a couple of diagrams of the types of services on the slide we're looking at here. It's kind of small, kind of hard to see, but there are things like task lists, photo albums, a learning management system, a communication system, etc. Any of these externally focused communication, data management, learning support systems that exist, the idea is that the single individual LPSS instance connects to them and provides a single point of access and a single identity for the learner to all of those separate systems. Next slide, please. So this gives you the LPSS as a whole, and there are essentially five major core elements to the system. On the one hand, a learning services network and marketplace. I'll talk about this in some detail below, called the Resource Repository Network. Another aspect is automated skills development and recognition, so that we can identify what competencies are required to perform a certain task or to fulfill a certain position, and evaluate a person's competence in that task, evaluate the competences that they are trying to achieve, and map a learning path to support those competences. Related to that, we have a lifetime management of learning and training records and credentials that we call the personal learning record. I'll talk a bit more about that below as well. And the personal learning assistant, which is the mechanism that allows you to view all of these. We're thinking well beyond the traditional idea of support on a computer screen or even support in a mobile device. What we're after is, as we say, the projection of the capacities of LPSS into remote systems, into remote devices. And I'll talk a bit about that later on as well. And then finally, the cloud service support and surround that makes that possible for data storage, data management, and synchronization. Next slide, please. So here's the same concept presented a little bit differently. The personal learning record is in the middle. We might think about it as the very core of the whole system. This is a lifetime record of a person's learning, development, and training events. The personal learning record, in turn, is supported by the Common Framework, which is a set of application programming interfaces and specifications that enables the different parts of the system to work together. The Resource Repository Network brings in contents. The Personal Learning Assistant presents contents and provides access to a management layer. The Personal Cloud supports data synchronization, personal access to network storage, and in some cases even personal storage on network devices. And then finally, the competency development and recognition piece forms the intelligence of the system and provides learning and resource support recommendations. Next slide, please. We can drill down to some degree in the Resource Repository Network to get a sense of what the system is up to. This slide shows a sampling, it's not complete by any means, of the sort of things that happen in the resource repository network. On the left-hand side are the sources of information that are made available to LPSS, everything from email to RSS to Open Archives Initiative, SharePoint, etc., social networks, as well as more traditional corporate systems such as shared directories, also learning management systems such as Desire to Learn, or open online training environments such as Coursera or edX, and pretty much any other data, information, or resource source that you can think of. These are brought into the system, and unlike, again, a traditional system that will simply take in a learning resource and store it as though it were a book or an object, we analyze these objects as they come in for content, for sense, for reference, for example, perhaps an emotional aspect, for example, relation to a competency. And there are different methods that we apply to these. I've listed a few here, parsing, scraping, analytics, etc. And this analysis takes place in the individual personal context. And this is a way to enable each user of the system to view these external resources from their own particular point of view, making them more sensible and more directly relevant to them. As we analyze these things, we pull out the major elements that are represented in these resources. And again, I have the list to the right here. Articles, photographs, videos, persons, authors, publishers, any sort of entity that you can think of. Opportunities like job opportunities, competencies, certificates, events, etc. We draw out all of those articles, and that it's kind of hard to see at the bottom right-hand side. But what we do very importantly is we identify the relations between all of those things. So it might be a very simple relation, like author X is the author of document Y, or it might be something more complicated, such as a job opportunity A ties to competency B, which in turn refers to resource C. Next slide, please. This analysis of the learning resources is supported and made usable by the underlying graph database that was used to represent all of this content. So, in order to picture it in your head, we still have the learning resources. They may be stored in a local library or a local archive, or they may be stored remotely. But what we're also doing is we're analyzing and storing metadata related to these resources in the form of a graph database. And the reason why we're storing it in a graph database rather than in traditional relational databases or file structures is so that we can perform advanced analytics on these resources in order to make the recommendations available. Next slide, please. So this is another aspect of the system that I've mentioned, the personal learning record. I've drawn out three separate areas in which personal learning records are supported. On the one hand are the activity records, which are traditionally stored in a learning record system. These activity records are imported and exported in XAPI format. XAPI stands for the Experience API. Now, what it is a subject, verb, object representation of all learning activities undertaken by a person. This is important because it allows us to use a common format to represent a person's training activities on different systems. And we're using different systems such as simulation engines in neurosurgery to flight simulations, all of these to produce XAPI records and store them in a single common database. So you can actually compare in this one place a person's experience with neurosurgery and a person's experience with aviation. I don't know if that'll ever come up, but you can do it. So the second aspect is the portfolio, artifacts, evidence. This might be everything from flight recordings to simulation results to reports that were authored by the person, any artifact that is not an activity record specifically, that is created by the person and could potentially be shared with other people. The idea here is that part of learning is not simply doing things and completing activities. It's also about creating a record, creating a resource, sharing that resource, and taking part in or being part of the ongoing development of teaching resources so that your own learning and your own training serves to support the learning and the training of other people. So these are passed on through the system, their output here and their input through somebody else's resource repository network on their own personal learning environment. So what we're setting up here is a network of connected people as well as a set of connected and interrelated resources. Finally, the third aspect of the personal learning record is the formal recognition that a person may obtain during their lifetime, any badges, certificates, credentials, competencies, anything that can be verified by a third party, a degree-granting agency or a certificate-granting agency. These will all be stored in the personal learning record so that as a person accumulates various training, etc., from whatever system, whatever environment through their lifetime, they can all be recorded in this one area. Next slide, please. Now, a lot of what I've talked about seems fairly standard. I've been talking about analytics, and a lot of different agencies have analytics. I've talked about training records, and a lot of different agencies have training records. Our approach, admittedly, is more difficult. It's more difficult because it produces a better result. But let me talk a bit about why it's more difficult for a moment. Traditionally, in a corporate learning environment, you have one great big humongous database, and everything goes into that database. And when you have a system like that, it's very easy to do a lot of things. You can run reports very quickly. You can do analytics on multiple users at the same time. All of your records are in the same place. However, it means that the only thing that you can work in is the system that is supported by this one great big huge database. The one great big huge database typically does not respond to differences and variety in individual staff, individual learning needs, individual preferences, individual environments. It's the old Mac versus PC thing, but on a grander scale. So what we're doing, as I mentioned before, is each individual person has their own personal instance of LPSS, which makes some of these things a lot more difficult. Doing analytics, for example, you have to get information from each of the different systems. You have to correlate that information and sometimes massage it because it won't be necessarily consistent. Different people have different information. As well, the data will be what we call sparse. So not everybody will have every data point because people take different trainings. So it makes the analytics more difficult. On the other hand, it makes the analytics better because before we were doing very deep analytics on a single system. Now, for an individual, we're able to do analytics not just on a single system, but on all the systems that they use. And the only way to do that is on a personal basis. So other things are more difficult. Data storage, content distribution, authentication, all of these are more difficult with a personal system, which is why very often companies go with an enterprise system. But ultimately, for a system that is more flexible, more responsive, and better for the individual, it's better to go with a personal system. Next slide, please. So we've launched an initial version of the software. We're 1 year one into a 5-year program, so it's still pretty basic, but a lot of the core functionality is in there. And a lot of the stuff you really can't see is under the hood, like the graph database, for example. We created our own graph database in order to test and extend the functionality that we'll require for their system. The final deployment of LPSS will probably use a commercially available graph database system, but we'll be working with that engine to make sure that it performs and provides the services that we need. LPSS.me is a publicly available site that you can log into, create a personal account, and test out some of the features of the site. And you're looking there at a simple screen that allows you to browse resources. Next slide, please. This is a slide that shows LPSS connecting to some external resources. You'll see Dropbox in there. Don't have a heart attack. These external resources can be selected. They can be controlled either by the security policies of the person involved or the nature of the environment that they find themselves in. So although we've got Dropbox, Facebook, Blogger there, Twitter, etc., we can connect LPSS basically to any external service that will support an application programming interface or API. Next slide, please. So the next slide is a screenshot showing our competencies browser. And again, there's stuff happening behind the scenes here, which you don't see because each of these competencies is connected in the graph to a set of learning resources and also connected to the person's individual learning profile. So the competency browser here, as you browse through the competencies, the system is able to recommend resources that it has found through the resource repository network, which is to say all of the resources that are out there in the person's learning environment to support this competency. Next slide. So this is just a header slide. I'm going to take you through a few case studies very briefly. It's not a complete set of case studies. We also have a set of corporate case studies, but I'm just going to go through the publicly knowable and accessible case studies. But there are examples of this on the corporate side as well. Next slide, please. A lot of our work in the area of graph databases and network representation of learning began with our open online courses, the MOOC. You may have heard of the MOOC elsewhere. The MOOC was originally developed by NRC in 2008. This is a screenshot from that course, and the messy-looking diagram in the upper right, that's the actual structure of the open online course that we offered. That was what we set up at the beginning of the course. And then the way we structure these online courses is that people contribute their own resources, their own discussion, and their own links on top of the original structure of the course. So it actually grows and becomes more complex over time. And what happens in a course like this is that the knowledge that is developed is not necessarily present in the course materials at the beginning of the course. Very often, the knowledge emerges as a result of the interaction and the discussion of the people taking part in the course. Next slide, please. We ran through these open online courses, and we continue to offer these open online courses. We've done a fair amount of research on them. It is through this research in our online course offerings and the use of this kind of technology to support in-person or in-class training that we see the importance of a graph representation. Today's knowledge is much more complex than can simply be listed in a set of principles or a bunch of things that you have to remember. Change one variable, it changes something else, which changes something else, which changes something else. People, in order to be able to work in a complex environment, need to get a feel or a sense for the work that they're doing. And this feel or sense isn't something that can be taught out of a book. It's something that has to be experienced through doing real activities and through interacting with other people doing real activities. And we capture this in the graph. The graph, if you will, is a representation of the complex nature of the subject matter. So we've analyzed this, we've looked at some of the major elements of the graph, and we've used that knowledge in order to create our graph representation of learning resources for LPSS. Next slide, please. So we've applied our knowledge and understanding of open online learning in a variety of different contexts. This is one context. It's for the Organisation Internationale de la Francophonie. It's an online course about open educational resources that we developed with them and offered to a multilingual and multicultural worldwide audience. And here again, we see very clearly an environment in which every learner, every individual is different. We cannot count on a single homogenized set of learners in any environment. And this becomes very clear when we're working in an international context. Next slide, please. Here's another project. PCO stands for Privy Council Office. It's a simple project. Well, I say simple. None of these are really simple. But it's a project that we did with Privy Council Office, which is working on the professionalization of security and safety staff. These are civil servants who have been hired to do one job, but, you know, every office has a security officer, every office has a safety officer, and the Privy Council Office wants to professionalize this role to ensure that people are properly trained. There's no single formal way of doing this, so they're using badges to recognize achievements. The particular problem we solved for them here was to be able to make the Mozilla badge infrastructure operate inside and outside an intranet so that accomplishments that were created or that were recognized inside a particular protected area of the network can be seen and recognized outside that area without violating, of course, security policies. Next slide, please. OnGuard is a project you may be familiar with. NRC has been associated with this for a number of years. It's a shared infrastructure sandbox that is being used by security services such as the Canadian Forces, CSIS, RCMP, other security services. And the idea here is to work with an environment where all of the different services can access and test out the different resources without having to enter each other's much more secure system. So we've been working on this with this for a while. OnGuard, we're looking at, this is not finalized, and maybe Rod can speak to this later, but we're looking at rolling up OnGuard as part of LPSS and installing a test bed of the LPSS system inside OnGuard for everybody to work on. Next slide, please. Again, this is more of our international experience working with the Arab League Educational, Cultural, and Scientific Organization. We did a capacity building study for them last summer and mapped out a project for literacy and competency building in the Arab world. Right now that's awaiting funding, but basically we set out a proposal of them to use a combination of massive open online courses and personal learning. Next slide, please. This is an older project, Mobile Interactive Trainer. This is a firearm that was equipped with lasers. The idea here is that we could have multiple people in a single area using these trainers. The system would record the spots where the lasers landed and send information back into the central system. We worked on this with police services in Fredericton, and what we would like to do, we have not done this yet, is implement XAPI in a system like this so that we're storing activity records of a person's training on these firearm systems. Next slide, please. One of the things we're able to do at NRC is take advantage of the expertise in other divisions of NRC. One of those is medical devices. And we've been working with a group from the medical devices portfolio to collect xAPI records for medical simulations. This is the neurosurgery that I was talking about. The woman there is Dee Jang. She's on our team. The simulator you're looking at is a neurosurgery simulator. I've actually tried that simulator, and it turns out I'm very good at neurosurgery, and I do have a backup career if I need it. What's interesting about this is the tools that she's using, it's hard to see there in the picture, are the actual tools that a neurosurgeon would use, and we're collecting feedback from those tools in the simulated environment. We would also be able to collect feedback from those same tools in the actual environment, and the objective here is to show a comparison between the training environment and the real environment. This allows us to, if you will, close the loop on training and actual performance. We're using the same system to gather and compare records of learning activities, and then we can compare the training data with the performance data and either evaluate the person or, even better, evaluate the training system for fitness for purpose. Next slide, please. The same technologies underlie the system that we're in the process of building for the IRAP Concierge Open Marketplace Solutions. This is an environment that connects small and medium-sized enterprises with experts and with government funding programs. You might think this has nothing to do with anything I've been talking about so far, but the underlying mechanics are the same, and you can actually draw the analogies in your head, right? Small, medium-sized enterprise, similar to a person. Experts, similar to training. Funding program, similar to employment opportunity. We're able to draw these relations together using the same analytics and the same underlying graph concept. And in fact, we're working with Concierge toward a phase two of this project. Phase one launched, I guess it's about three and a half weeks ago, and it is live to the public now. The phase two will extend what they've done so that we'll have a direct connection between the learning resources that are available in the marketplace provided by learning providers such as colleges or universities, as well as access to experts that can be found either at NRC or through the funding agency's database, as well as not just government funding programs, but other wider funding opportunities. So we're bringing together the concepts of training, of skills development, of employment opportunity, of funding opportunities, and ultimately in Concierge, we'll be supporting companies, small and medium-sized companies, being able to match competencies with each other and form teams to make bids on larger projects. One more slide. Next slide, please. So this is a visual representation of the overall LPSS program. There are different ways to engage with the LPSS program. One way to engage is to work with us to develop the core technologies, the resource repository networks, the personal record for learning, etc. Another way is to engage with us as a provider or consumer of data in the world, either as a provider of learning and training systems or as a consumer of the output of learning and training systems in order to perform, for example, analytics. A third way is to work on a specific project with us. That's what the orange boxes above represent. Those are some of the specific things that we've done, such as MOOC Rail or Mint or any of the others that I've mentioned. And so we're always looking to augment and define and extend the capacities of the core system in practical, real-world applications. This is important for us as it tests our capacity and also extends our capacity, and it's often important for the end user of this technology because it provides capacities that are not available through other technologies. And then finally, you see the gray boxes at the bottom. This is our connection to other parts of NRC. If there's any other part of NRC technology, everything from analytics to medical devices to working and learning on aircraft to construction or whatever, all of these parts of NRC, we're all in the same company, if you will, and so we can draw those technologies into LPSS. And the other gray box represents the ongoing work that we're doing with other government departments in order to look at how personal learning and personal learning records can be adapted for the public service as a whole. Last slide, and those are my coordinates. Pierre will provide you with his coordinates, and we'd be happy to provide access to any of the members of the LPSS team. Like I said, there's 30, 35 of us working on it now. Any additional resources you would like, we would be more than happy to present. And that's the overview, and I'd be happy to take any comments or questions.